proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. In our examination of Israel's 10 provocations in the wilderness, we stopped last time with their refusal to enter into the Promised Land while they were on the borders of that territory. At the city of Kadesh Barnea, God had sentenced the Israelites to remain in the wilderness for 40 years. But the morning after God made that pronouncement, the Jews angered God afresh. The author of Numbers recorded that, quote, "They rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned," unquote. That rapid change of attitude betrayed the spiritual inconstancy of the Jewish nation. They were like a weathercock, going back and forth as the prevailing wind blew. Moses sought to convince them not to follow through on their purpose. He asked them, quote, "Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord?" Unquote. After all, God had informed the Israelites that they were not going to enter the Promised Land right then, that they had to spend additional years in the wilderness. Yet, the Jewish people behaved as though nothing had changed from the previous day. Having told them that they would not succeed in their endeavor, Moses then advised the Israelites, quote, "Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies," unquote. Those that the Israelite spies feared, the sons of Anak, the Amalekites, the Canaanites, would fight against the Jewish nation. And, bereft of the power of God, the Israelites have no hope of prevailing against such foes. Nonetheless, they presume to go onto the hilltop in preparation for doing battle. That Hebrew word translated presumed is afal. It carries negative connotations connected with pride, as in assuming you can do something when in reality you can't. Note that neither Moses nor the Ark of the Covenant accompanied the Israelites as they set forth. In the ensuing fight, the Canaanites and the Amalekites resoundingly defeated the Israelites, causing them to flee. The Israelites at Kadesh Barnea did not acquiesce to God's decrees, either to go into the land immediately or to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Rather, they sought to do that which was right in their own eyes, a formula that invariably leads to disaster. What lessons can Christians take from the Israelites' experiences here? Once a believer discerns God's will for him or her, that person needs to submit to his authority, whatever that takes. Many contemporary Christians misunderstand the implications underlying that term, submission. They might believe that by the act of yielding to someone else, they implicitly acknowledge their own inferiority to that other person. Thus, when the author of Hebrews told his readers to, quote, "obey them that have the rule over you and submit themselves," unquote, he did not imply that his readers should degrade themselves. Instead, he wanted them to acknowledge that a line of spiritual authority existed, and they needed to conform to that spiritual authority. The Israelites in the wilderness refused to do so, and God repeatedly sent judgments upon them. Christians need to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who continually yielded to the will of his heavenly Father. If Christians acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, they then ought to do what he says. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.